for us. Thank you for voting thing. But the word to us is, I've never heard this before. Not, at least not in this vein. The Lord said to say to everyone that prayed, thank you for praying, and that everything is in its proper order. That you have, and secondly, don't stop praying, because it is not finished yet. Amen? So when I heard that thank you, I said, how does God thank people for praying? And he quickly reminded me that he looked for a man to stand in the gap, and that he will do nothing except that he reveals. So we are in partnership with him, and there are things that he did, some very obvious and some not very obvious to us yet. That's why he says, keep on praying. Because it's not done yet. Amen? So thank you. On behalf of the Lord, I want to say thank you to everyone who prayed and everyone who went out to vote. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, and by the way, my trip down south was truly blessed of the Lord. I did 2 states. Last Sunday, I did the state of Minnesota. And I did the state of North Dakota. And in the next few weeks, I'll be doing some more states, 3 or so states, in my next run out. God is showing himself strong, and the people are receiving the instruction of the Lord and unveiling things. God is good. All right, we're in Proverbs 14. We'll take it up from verse 10. I thought I had my iPad in my bag, but evidently it's not in there. It's in a charging port somewhere. So I'll be using my iPhone this evening. It says, the heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. Last week, we talked about this particular aspect, the fact that you got to know yourself, know your heart, know what you are about, know how you function. Now, there's a limit to that, because the Word of God also says to us that the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? So the heart is very deceptive, and it takes the Spirit of God, which searches the heart, to reveal your heart to you so that you know what to do and how to carry yourself. But part of this statement here, there is a flip side to it. And basically what that part says is that when you do not empathize with people that are going through struggles, you do not appreciate their pain. When you're going through bitter moments, that you will end up being a stranger on the outside when they are celebrating, they remember you. When I was going through the pain, you were not there for me, so you cannot be celebrating with me. I'm not sending you any wedding invitation. No, no. wedding cake for you. Because when I was going through my struggles, you were not there. Well, that is the flip side of that statement. But the core of it is it's talking about you knowing your heart, knowing how things happen with you, and you carrying yourself in proper order. Amen? Because when we do not do that, when you don't know yourself, you end up toppling your house, toppling your life, sabotaging yourself. People who sabotage themselves many times have not considered what they're about. I've seen so many people through these years who self-sabotage. It's just sabotage. Opportunities come for them to step into something good and wonderful, and they sabotage it because they don't know how to control their emotions. They don't know how to talk. They don't know how to appreciate what's happening around them. And they sabotage. They burst their own balloons. And when you live in that state, the only thing that will appreciate in your life is pain, loss, defeat, failure. That's the only thing that will appreciate. You understand what I'm talking about? Yeah. So when you do not, let me put it this way, when you do not appreciate your life and understand what God has given to you, the only thing that will appreciate, increase in your life is pain. So we've got your appreciation of who you are in God will also appreciate the goodness of God in your life. Your lack of appreciation of what God is doing in your life will cause evil to appreciate. Now, I'm using that word, appreciate, in a very strategic way. I'm using the word appreciate in terms of acknowledging, enhancing, establishing certain things in your life. Let me put it this way. Your attitude will determine your altitude. Let me say it again. Your attitude to life, towards God, towards other people, towards yourself, will determine your altitude, where you go, where you will be in life. And so one of the key things that we need to do is to knock off bitterness, because bitterness will cause you to fly off the handle and mess up your destiny. Got to take full charge of our emotions. Verse 11 goes on to say, the house of the wicked shall be overthrown. It's not might be. It says it shall. This is a guarantee. The house of the wicked, twisted people, shall be overthrown. It shall be overthrown because what you sow is what you're going to end up reaping. And if you practice wickedness, wickedness will come and visit you. in manifold ways. So he says, the house of the wicked shall be overthrown. It's a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. It shall be overthrown. But the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. The tabernacle where the upright live will flourish. It will not be overthrown. What does flourishing mean? Flourishing means it will continue to increase and expand. But the house of the wicked that is overthrown means it's collapsed. It used to be there, but now we don't see it. Defeat has come. But that is not true for the righteous, the upright. God somehow, some way, causes it to continue to go on and on. It may have slow moments because there's an attack or whatever, but it will always overcome. Now, these statements don't just happen. It's a promise of God. But promises not engaged do not become your reality. So when the enemy is trying to attack my house, and I recognize that I'm not a wicked person, I must declare, this house will not be overthrown. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and I walk uprightly before him. Therefore, my tabernacle shall flourish. I will move victoriously. Unfortunately, the word of God says, my people perish because of a lack of knowledge. We need to know what our rights are, because your rights not known, that ignorance will cost you your benefits. So we need to know what God's word says. What does the word of God say about my situation? When you're going through any situation in life, you must go back to the word of God and say, what does the word of God say about this? If something bad is happening, you find out, what does the word of God say will happen in this kind of a situation? Now, is that situation my situation? If it is, then I need to do some repenting and seek forgiveness and redemption. And God willingly offers it. But the thing about many people is that arrogance, pride, never allows them to acknowledge when they're wrong. This is, I can't be wrong. You know, I had one minister preaching, and he said, passage of scripture talks about if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that is not related to Christians. It's not. Whatever Jesus said and taught is not the gospel. Because Jesus was preaching from the Old Testament. So it's not the gospel. That is the height of arrogance. But many times that's where people find themselves. Deceived. Not recognizing that the one they're saying is not the gospel. Then preach the gospel. Then whatever it is that he said is not related to grace. He's the same one who took time to show to the man, the two men on the road to Emmaus, all that the scripture said about him. He's the one who says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But people many times are so arrogant, they don't give room to the word of God to take root. So that's old-fashioned stuff. It does not relate to now. This is the 21st century. You can do whatever it is you want to do now. It's okay. Lying devils. So the word of God goes on and says, there is a way that seems right unto a man. You can logically put and philosophize and whatever else, you know, make things seem to be okay. He says, but there is a way that seems right. It seems right unto a man. You look at it, I think it's good. It's good. I don't see anything wrong with it. It is okay. He says, but the end of that so-called seemed right, seems right. He says, the end of that are the ways of death. But the end thereof are the ways of death. If it seemed right, seemeth right is not right. It's fake. It's news, but it's fake news. And fake news will disrupt your life and destroy it. It seemeth right. It seems okay that this should happen. And they don't see two steps, three steps, four steps. You see, God sees all of the board. He sees every move on the board. It reminds me of me playing African checkers with my uncle. I've told this story before. And we're playing this stuff, and he moves his chip, and I hop over it, and I claim that chip, and the other one, and I claim it, and I'm saying, look at this guy. I'm beating him. He doesn't know how to play this game. Gave me the third one, and I chowed on it, and he goes, tick, 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 tick. He was in my home. Now he has a chip that's going to have to be crowned, and that chip doesn't just go just one step. It can go all in all kinds of directions. Now I was totally defeated. Checkmate. I thought I was winning. And that's what happens. That we just, I think it's okay. You see, seemed right is a place of compromise. When you live in a world of compromising, let's let it go this time. Let it go this time It's going to be let it go next time. It's going to be let it go next time. And it's going to be let it go again until you're done. You're done. It seems right. I don't know if it's if my dad or an uncle, somebody told me this story about how they used to hunt monkeys. And the way they used to hunt monkeys is that they have a clear bottle and they put what the monkey would like to have eat inside that bottle. And the monkey will go, slide its hands in, but then when it grabs the stuff, it makes a fist. Now with the fist, the hand cannot come out. So the monkey is in there trying to get this stuff and it's stuck there until it gets killed. That is the life of people many times. They're so stuck on getting whatever it is they want to get. It doesn't matter what they got to do, but as soon as they grab it, they've made a fist and they cannot escape. Defeat, the ways of death. Notice it says, but the end thereof are. So it's not just one way. There are many ways. In essence, when we compromise, we open portals for destruction. All kinds of things open up to bring about pain. And when that happens, even your laughter becomes sorrow. Have you ever seen somebody going through that? When they should be laughing, they are sorrowful. They're sad. They're overwhelmed by life. Their joy becomes heaviness, bitterness, because of wrong decisions. Wrong decisions. What is the Word of God saying to us? Be intentional in your life. Be intentional. Don't be casual with life. Mama says, I've heard her say it many times, if you deal in life casually, you become a casualty. It's a true statement. Think. Think. Don't rush. I got to make a decision right now. You know, if a salesman is trying to make sure that you buy it right now, put on the brakes. If you don't get it right now, it's going to be gone. Is that what God told you? Is that what God told you? Don't just rush into it and think, I got to do it now, 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 now. No, no, no. Now, if God has spoken, I don't remember what the name of this vehicle is now. There was a vehicle that I wanted to buy. It was a Pontiac something. Anyway, this particular vehicle, the back of it, the back window, whatever where you have your wipers in the back, the hatch. Okay, the hatch had glass, and then the glass came down, so while you're driving, you can actually see the ground. If it's a Pontiac something, anyway, Aztec. Thank you very much. That's the one. Aztec. So the Aztec was just out. So I wanted to buy this Aztec. You know, we needed a vehicle. And I took it to Mama. I said, I like this vehicle. She says, no, we're not having that. But I like it, and the price is right. It says Aztec. You know what Aztec is all about? I said, it's just a name. Just get it. It's okay. It's okay. She put her foot down. She didn't want it. So I went to a friend of mine. I said, go beg Mama for me. Beg her. Beg her, you know, so she pipes down so we can buy this car. She won't. So I went back and I saw the rendezvous. That was my first rendezvous. I said, how much is this one? They told me it was about the same price point. So we got the rendezvous. Later on, I saw that same Aztec, and I started thinking about it again, because the salesman was telling me, you got to get this car too, you got to, you know, so the salesman is trying to make me get it, I'm trying to get somebody else to help me get it, but there's somebody in the way called Mama. she's not budging. But you know what? I thank God she was pushing on that no button. No, I don't think we should do this. I don't think we should. Later on, when I considered it, I got a better vehicle with a rendezvous than that one. In fact, I think I drove two sets of the rendezvous before I went to the enclave. Sales people, if you're a salesperson, I'm not talking about you, except if I'm talking about you, then I'm talking about you. Sales people can sell you a bill of goods. You gotta buy it now. No. I got to know whether this is what God is wanting me to do. I need to hear from God. You and I need to hear from God. Because it is what we hear from God that ultimately works out for our benefit and for our good. I don't know what God is wanting to do, but this is the direction He's leading me. That's the direction I need to go. There might be another way that seems more proper and more orderly. If you go that way, you'll find out all the reasons why you shouldn't have gone that way. But the way of the Lord is right. It does not seem right. It is right. And you need to follow that way. Follow thoroughly what God is saying. Sometimes rushing in making decisions can be a problem. Now, there are times when you really need to move. Like the angel of the Lord came to Peter while he was in prison and says, "Hey, get up quickly. Let's get out of here." On one hand, it seems right. But when we think about it for a moment, why are they rushing? Those soldiers are not going to stop anything. Why is this? Let's go. Put on your shoes quickly. Let's get out of here. Well, what was the rush about? The rush may be about nothing other than obedience. You following the instruction. This is what I want you to do, and you go and you do it. Because sometimes planning it all out will jeopardize your commitment of faith to see what God wants done. When God says, do something, next question is, when do you want me to do it? Do you want it done now? Do you want it done next week? Do you want it done next month? When do you want it done? Because God has a timetable that he's working with. Sometimes he plays the short game. Sometimes he plays the long game. But whatever way he's going somewhere. And there's something he wants to accomplish. And it behooves me to just follow his instruction. And if I do so, my laughter will not be sorrowful. It means then that the God who got you started completes it while you are flourishing. Amen? Now let's look a little bit closer at verse 14. It says, "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways." Remember, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, not the ways of God. A backslider is somebody who used to be at a particular point was walking fervently and faithfully with God and then started moving backwards away from the source of his strength. And nature abhors a vacuum. So if you're not getting the ways of God by you acknowledging the Lord in all of your ways, so that he directs your path, then you're going to be filled with your own ways. With your own agenda. And I wish I could tell you that when you start doing that, that God will keep on, don't do that. You know, after a while, he'll leave you to yourself. In fact, in the book of Ezekiel, it says, if you have gods in your heart and you come asking God questions. He said he will answer you by the gods that you have in your heart and then smack you. Yeah, he said, I'll smack you. Because you come in here with your own gods. He says that any prophet that comes and confirms what those gods in your heart are saying, that prophet, you talk to. Ah. But God, I was speaking to you and you answered me, yes, on the basis of the gods of your heart. And what is the point then? The point is that when you and I come to God, we don't come with our own agenda. Come as a blank slate so that he can write his will very clearly into your heart, into your spirit. Because I've seen it so many times. You know, people believing for whatever and coming to God, and they will have these amazing dreams that confirm what wrong they are thinking. Everything seems to line up. They have confirmations. I confirm that. Listen, if it doesn't line up with the word of God and you're having to twist it to make it fit, hold it. Because you don't have to force anything to fit when it is the word of God. What if we try it this way? Well, let's try it this way. Okay, keep on trying. All this trying, might it be that you are going in the path of cement right? That's the life of the backslider. Not following through with God, just doing whatever. And it's going to end up in pain. However, it says, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Now, what is that? Word of God says, a good man out of the treasures of his heart will bear good fruit. It says that the power of life and death is in the tongue, and that those that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Okay, now let's look at that whole passage again. What's a backslider? A backslider ends up being a person who is not in alignment with the word of God. You're not doing God speak. And when you stop speaking the word of God, you'll be speaking out of the abundance of your heart. The abundance of your heart then being, if we go back through the verses, we'll find out that it is connected with bitterness, disappointments. Well, the last time I tried it this way, blah, 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 and it didn't work the way I wanted it, so let me try plan B, and then plan C, and then you get other people's ideas, and now you are not following through with what God's word says anymore. You are into what whatever the world says. Look at the history of the church in the last few years. You know, when I first came to the U.S. in 79, the church still believed to a great extent that there were certain things that were not kosher. You don't just go around divorcing. You don't go around shacking up. You know what shacking up is? Okay. Living together. Right? We were very clear about what homosexuality was and what the stance of the church was. It was very clear. Some 40-something years later, none of that is clear. None of it. Even the last pope was talking about marrying gays. Yeah? That's so foreign. But how did it get there? So we have all that kind of mess going on. There are people in church shacking up. They come in, you know, they might have left church A and go to church B, and they show up in church B as a couple. And the pastor and everybody thinks they're a couple. No, they've never been married. But oh my, do they know how to worship God? Hallelujah. Okay. That's so good. Oh, some of you might remember this. I had a service here, I don't know how long, some 30 years back, about that. There's these two that came in church. They were shacking up. And I'm up here, and the Lord says, see those two? I said, yeah, what about them? He said, they're not married. I said, they're not married. He said, no, they're not married. I said, and what am I supposed to do with that? He said, marry them right here, right now. I did too. I said, oh. I said, you're not going to be shacking up here. Stop that nonsense. Do you love her? Yes. Do you love him? Yes. Then come right here. So we had a wedding. I don't know what we used for rings. Maybe it was Coke bottle. But do you know how messed up people are in their hearts? Backslidden. And they don't think anything wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. So we have drug problems in the church. If it is happening out there, it's happening in the church. And they don't feel badly about it because their heart is hardened. A way that seemeth right. It doesn't just happen. It's a steady slide. You know, I don't know the name of this flower or plant. It has a very beautiful flower. But this flower has I don't know what to call it, spikes. Okay. Pointing downwards. And when an insect comes, you know, it gives out this really nice scent, you know, so this insect comes and they get there and The nectar or whatever is at the bottom. It can smell it, and it wants to go get it, so it starts going down. But as it's going down to get that, it gets past some of those spikes. And so when it wants to come out, it is spiked. That's what happens. The enemy sets a trap, and it's so easy to go in, but coming out, that's a different story. That's a different story. So the thing we don't want to do is go the easy way. Seems so okay. It seemeth right. There is a cost. Are you willing to pay the price for that action? Who is it hurting? Oriel. It doesn't hurt anybody because I'm doing it in the privacy of my home. And so that's how a lot of men, and now also women, are hooked on pornography and in church. And your mind is blasted with lust day in, day out. You can't get out of it. It's a game. It's okay. It's never okay to do the wrong thing. It's never okay. Because there is always a cost. There's always a price. And may I say, you don't want to pay that price. The simple, believe it, every word. Simple. They believe everything. Simple-minded. He says, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. Where you going? He says, the prudent man looketh well, checks it out. Simple people just, oh, yeah, yeah, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Now, that's how you're going to end up in a big mess. These are life lessons. This is not about you going to heaven now. This is about how to carry yourself on a daily basis. This thing that you're trying to do, how is that going to work out? Is this going to bring me closer to God? Or is it going to steer me further away from God? If it's going to steer me away from God, I don't want to do it. Because I don't know if I'm going to be able to get out of that back to God. Don't play, how do you say, Russian roulette. Yeah? If there's a bullet in the chamber, don't put it on your head. In fact, if it is even empty, don't put it on your head. Because you don't know that devil. He'll go stick something in there. Don't do it. It's as simple as that. He says, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. I can do it. I can do it. I can handle it. You can't handle it. You can't handle it. The devil's messed up so many people that are smarter and wiser than you through the ages. You are just Johnny just come. You can't handle it. Oh, I'm all fasted up so I can handle it. Really? Do you know when the devil came to tempt Jesus? It wasn't when he was feeling really strong. It was when he was really hungry. See, amen, amen. Come on. We can solve this problem right now. You remember? You're the Son of God, yeah? Yeah, if that's you, I know I'm talking to you. If that's you, turn those stones. Make it bread. Oh. Do you think Jesus could have done that? Sure. But at what cost? At what cost? At what cost? If he tried to prove that he was the Son of God by turning stone to bread, he would have been saying, I really didn't believe what God said about me, so I have to prove it to you. I don't have to prove nothing to you. Hey, if you're a man of God, then do this. No, I don't have to prove anything to you. You decide whether I'm a man of God or not. As far as I know, he says I'm a man of God, and that suffices, and I don't have to prove nothing. But would you know it? So many people will jump into that pool. Want to prove something. Who are you trying to prove it to? Really? Who are you trying to prove it to? You might find yourself becoming a false witness that lieth. But when you have a fear of God, you will depart from evil. But the fool rageth and is confident. Confident in his foolishness, thinking that he can get away with something. Nobody gets away with anything. It's the grace and mercy of God. That's what keeps us. God's loving kindness, God's tender mercies. Me crying out to God and say, God, have mercy on me. Help me. I cannot win if you don't win through me. I can only do all things through you. I can do all things through Christ. Your life must be lived through Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. It is Christ that liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It's all about him. So we need to get our heads off of that mess. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen? Yes, be confident, be bold, be all of that when you're coming into the presence of God. Be that. When you face the enemy through Christ. Never in your strength, your ability, especially if you have spent some time fasting and praying and you feel anointed, don't go in that strength. Go in the strength of God's word. Because if you face the enemy directly, you toast. Get insulated with the presence of the Lord in humility. The enemy is going to come down only because you recognize the bigness of your God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, we will stop here. today. We'll pick it up from verse 17, which is very clear. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. He that is soon angry. Get a hold of your emotions. Take a hold of that. Oh, that's my personality. Okay. It's your personality. It's going to cost you. Or you can find your personality in Jesus. Jesus, meek and mild. Yeah, there's sometimes when he brings a big stick. But in a very proper way. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, without you, we are nothing. You're the one who makes our life make sense. And we come before you today and ask, oh God, that you guide us and guard us, that you help us make the right decisions, not to be hasty. Help us, oh God, to be diligent and deliberate, intentional in the decisions that we make and not allowing forces around to influence the decisions that we make. But Lord, oh God, that every decision we make comes from your very heartbeat. Lord, we need you. We need you like we've never needed you. Day by day, we are becoming more and more aware of our need for you. But past the place of need, we want to have a relationship with you that is not need-based, but love-based. So, Lord, oh God, help us to connect with you in a loving relationship. And may we carry that loving relationship and bring an impartation to the lives of others, far and near. Help us, O God, to walk uprightly before you. We trust in you. We believe in you. And we say, Father, your kingdom come, your will on earth done as it is in heaven. Be glorified, King of kings and Lord of lords. Help of the helpless, help us. We trust in you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, thank you so much for coming and participating in our study tonight. I look forward to seeing